Good morning. Please open your Bible, Colossians 2, verse 6 to 15. If you use your Pew Bible, you will find it on page 984. Let me introduce the book first. Colossians is an epistle Paul wrote to the church in Colossae. The church was built not by Paul, but by his fellow minister Epaphras. But Paul always remembered and prayed for them. They were loved brothers and sisters who had faith in Christ Jesus, love for one another, and hope in heaven. But false teachers came. The church was in danger. So Paul wrote the epistles to encourage and strengthen the brothers and sisters. In the preceding part, Paul prayed for them, recalled them to the truth, and commended them for their order and steadfast faith. Now Paul began the direction and warnings. It's the main end of the epistle. Today, I will focus only on the first two verses, verses 6 to 7. These two verses are the core and theme of the epistle. Colossians 2, 6 through 15. Hear the inspired word of God. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirit of the world, but not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, but putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcisions of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Hear the word of God. Please bow with me briefly in prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we as your children came before you. Lord, we pray that you show mercy to us, be with us, pour out your Holy Spirit among us, so that your children may truly know you and worship you. Father, we pray that your servant preach faithfully your word, and your people hear with attention. We pray that you work through your word with the power of the Holy Spirit. The weak you strengthen, the faint-hearted you encourage, the sleeping you awake, and the disorderly you admonish. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Most of you know how to drive. You drive every day. Maybe you still remember how you learned to drive. I had never driven before until last summer. A brother at church taught me to drive. Every day, he taught me. He gave me directions and then led me to drive on road. Of course, he sat beside me. The car is a manual car. It's very hard for me to drive a manual car. Even after a long period of learning, I drove the car off my lane easily and frequently. And I did not even realize it. One or two times, I almost ran into other vehicles. Keeping your lane, Jin, the brother gave me an immediate warning and corrected my wheel every time when I was about to go astray. Keeping your lane. It's a very simple command, but it's very crucial, isn't it? If you do not keep in your lane, you will have accident. You will crash your car and hurt you and your family or your friends. So is the Christian life. Paul likens the Christian life as walking, and he gave the brothers and sisters in closing the same simple and serious command. Walk in Christ. If you do not walk in Christ, you will have a crash. You will destroy yourself and your church and your family. We are to walk in Christ. But we are so easy to go astray. So the command becomes even urgent. Actually, it's not Paul, but God who spoke to the Colossians. Today, God speaks the same words to you and to me. Walk in Christ. Do not go astray. Walk in Christ. I want to speak of three points of the topic to you. First, it's a command. It's an urgent command. Second, it's a reasonable command. Third, it's a beautiful command. Let's see, it's a command. As you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him. The sentence is very clearly imperative. For the first time in the epistle, Paul used an imperative and directive tone. In the epistle, in the preceding part of the epistle, Paul prayed for the Colossians. He recalled them to the truth. From verse chapter 1, 15 through 23, Paul called the Colossians to the greatness of Christ. He commended them for their faith and love. But now he gave commands. He knew well the danger which the Colossians were in. The false teaching had come in. The false teachers crept into the church and taught something seems right, but false and deceptive. The false teaching was a kind of mixture of paganism, Greek philosophy, and the Jewish legalism. The false teaching seemed not to deny Christ directly and openly, but it dethroned Christ. It undervalued Christ's death and resurrection. That's why Paul so emphasized the greatness and the preeminence of Christ. That's why Paul so emphasized the death and the resurrection of Christ. The false teaching is even more dangerous because it's deceptive. It deluded people to seek for and rely on themselves, to rely on the so-called philosophy, theory, traditions and regulations. other than Christ. Paul knew the human nature. He knew how sinful and feeble the human nature is. We as Christians know people are so easy to go astray from Christ and follow the normal teaching. So Paul gave the clear and serious command, walk in Christ. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. You have begun in Him, so you are to continue in Him. You are to remain in Him. The same are we Christians today. Brothers and sisters, you and I are also in the danger. We are in the danger of going astray from Christ. We receive Jesus Christ, that's true. But we are still in the world. The world is a preacher. It preaches every day to our ears. It preaches every day tongues of all kinds of theories, philosophies, ideas, psychologies, and practices other than Christ. The only goal is to delude you from Christ and into Him. The Bible teaches us the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. You know how feeble you are. When you try to resist the temptation and attacks by your own strength. So here's Paul's command. It's not just for the Colossians. It's for us. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Actually, it's God's command. You Christians must walk in Him. As Calvin says, Christians, their having once received Christ will of no advantage to them unless they remain in Him. Again, I repeat. Calvin says, their having once received Christ will of no advantage to them unless they remain in Him. It's an urgent command. For Christians, it's not optional. It's required. If you walk in Christ, you would be fortified against all kinds of dangers, false philosophies, and mazy entanglements. Walking in Christ is not only remaining in Christ. To walk, just imagine, to walk is an active action. To walk is a continuous process. Christian life is active. It's not static, not even dead. Brothers and sisters, you as Christians must live your life actively. You must live your faith out. Your inner faith must be manifested through your outward life. Christian life is also a continuous process. It's the process of sanctification. Sanctification is not by yourself, but by the grace of God. By working in Christ, it lasts for your whole life. It always proceeds. Some people say they are Christians. They say they know Christ. They have received Christ. But how can they demonstrate they are Christians? People could not say anything that show the difference of his life with that of non-Christians. Some others think of being Christian is an event once happening sometime before. They say, I was a Christian because in a certain year or in a certain time, on a certain date, in a certain place, I have prayed a profession prayer. But how does the event have effect on your today life? What's the relation of the event a long time ago with your today's life? They couldn't say. Dear brothers and sisters, are you such people? Walk in Christ. Remain in Christ. Be guarded in Christ. Live out your faith in Christ. It's a lifelong issue for all Christians. It's a command to all Christians. It's required, not optional, for all Christians. A Christian who does not walk in Christ is a contradiction. Dear brothers and sisters, reflect and check your life. How often you are only Christians on lip, but not in heart? How often are you only Christians at church, but not at home or at work? That you're living at home or at work demonstrates that you are a Christian? That the way you relate to your wife or your husband or your parents or your children demonstrate you are a Christian? Yes, walk in Christ. It's a command, a dispensable command. Many people, when they think of a command, they think of something arbitrary. But this command is not arbitrary. It's reasonable. Go to the text. Paul said, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, your Lord, so walk in Him. Receiving Christ Jesus, the Lord, this is the great faith. Walking in Him, this is the godly life. The great faith must lead to the godly life. Receiving Christ Jesus, the Lord, this is the inner life. Walking in Him, this is its outer manifestation. The inner life must manifest itself. It's a natural thing. The logic is very reasonable. The same logic occurs in the Bible repeatedly. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. The New KJV says, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's reasonable service. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to walk and please God, just as you as doing, that you do so more and more. What can we learn from here? Faith and life are never separated. Great faith is the source of godly life. Godly life flows from the great faith. It's a very natural thing. It's reasonable. Paul summarized the great faith in brief words. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord. It was Christ himself that the Colossians had received. Whatever they received in the gospel, it is Christ. Christ is the sum and the life of all evangelical instructions. Christ is the soul of all doctrines. Furthermore, Christ was received by the Colossians as the Lord. The Lord Christ Jesus. The anointed Christ Jesus is now the Lord of all. And to acknowledge his lordship is to own the success of his atoning work, as well as to bow to his sovereign authority. Christ is the Lord. Christ is all in all. Paul emphasized the great faith, the great doctrine, repeatedly in the epistle. Just as I mentioned, chapter 1, verse 15 through 23. And verse 2, just we read, verse 9 through 15. Paul emphasized the soul of all doctrines repeatedly. Christ, Christ, Jesus Christ is the sum and the life of all my teachings. It's the soul of all my teachings. And the great faith and great doctrines naturally leads to practical directions and practical demands. Paul never undervalued the importance of great doctrines. So how are you, brothers and sisters? When we see the church today, when we see the Christians today, some Christians, they had orthodoxy doctrine. Praise the Lord. They ought to live out a life fitting with the doctrine and theology. But sadly, the sound teaching does not produce a godly life, but only makes them proud, haughty, and harsh to others. When we see the church and the Christians, we see another kind of Christians. They pay a lot of emphasis on Christian life and good works, but they despise the teaching and the studying of the truth of the Bible. These good works have no foundation. Dear brothers and sisters, reflect yourself and check. The teaching in the Bible is very balanced. Great faith, great doctrine lead to godly life. It's a reasonable command. Walk in Christ as you received Christ Jesus the Lord. And we will say, it's not only a reasonable command, it's also a beautiful command. Let's go to the text again. Immediately after the command, Paul added four participles to demonstrate how walking in Christ is like. Verse 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. These are four participles, but there are also some pictures. You will see how beautiful walking in Christ is. The first participle and picture is rooted in him. The tense of the participle rooted in Greek, the original language, is intentionally made perfect, which means the action being rooted has happened before the main verb walk. So it's better to translate it as having been rooted in Christ. What a wonderful truth. Brothers and sisters, do you realize that when you walk in Christ, you have been rooted in Christ? Who rooted you? God. And by God's grace, the participle reminds us of someone. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by stream of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaves does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful life. Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to know, someone is a description of the life of Christ. The man who is blessed is Christ Jesus. Only he fits all the descriptions of the Son. But now, for you who are united with Christ, who walk in Christ, you have the same blessings. You have been rooted in Christ. Your life is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its seasons, and its leaf does not wither. The second participle is built up in him. The participle, different from the first one by its tense, indicates a present situation. So it may be translated as being built up in him. Here is another picture. The first picture is a tree planted by a stream. Now the second picture is a house. Christian life is like a house being built. Walking in Christ is a process of being built in him, in Christ. Whose house is it? God. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9 says, you are God's building. And in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 22, Paul says, in him you are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. You are being built in him, in Christ, together into a dwelling place, into a house by God and for God. And the foundation is Christ. Walk in Christ, rooted and built on him. Dear brothers and sisters, when you walked in Christ, you have already been rooted in Christ. And you are continuing to make progress. All these are God's work in you by His grace. So the Christian life have a solid foundation and have a continuous progress. The third participle is established or confirmed in the faith, just as you were taught. Here Paul reminded us again of what we were taught. Confirmed in the faith just as you were taught. He recalled us to what we have known again. God confirmed you in the faith while you walk in Christ. Here you see, in the Christian life, the knowledge of God and the living out the knowledge are interactive. They are interacted together. The faith and good works are interacted together. You have known. You have received Christ Jesus the Lord. So you must walk. On the other hand, when you walk, you will know Christ Jesus your Lord better. You will get confirmed in what you have taught. Isn't it wonderful? Can you separate the knowledge of God and living out the knowledge? Can you separate Christian faith and Christian life? The fourth and last participle is abounding in thanksgiving. Christian life is accompanied and ended with thanksgiving. Walking in Christ is full of blessings. And how can we not give thanks to God and others? Actually, giving thanks is so important in Christian life. Dear brothers and sisters, how long have you not given thanks truly in your heart? Are you a man full of joy and thanksgiving? Your non-Christian friends admire your life or not? Paul himself gave thanks to God for brothers and sisters in Colossae. And he prayed that when they walk and grow in Christ, they may also give thanks to God. Giving thanks means you confess all your spiritual blessings, all your spiritual growth are from God, are the gift of God. It's not yours. On the other hand, ingratitude, as Calvin points out, is very frequently the reason why we are deprived of the light of the gospel, as well as of other divine favors. Let's go back to Paul's command. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. But he immediately added, walk in Him, having been rooted in Him, and being built up in Him, confirmed in the faith, and abounding in thanksgiving. What a beautiful command. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. God's grace and blessings flow to those who are united with Christ, who walk in Christ. Once I asked a young pastor, what's the most challenge in his ministry? He answered, to walk in Christ. We are to walk in Christ every day. But we are so easy to get caught by so many specific things and people. but forgot the presence of God and go astray from Christ. We are too busy with things and peoples, but God seems beyond our sight. We are so easy to be carried over by anger, by grumble at others, but forgot God. We are so easy to see the thorns in the eyes of our brothers, but cannot see the logs in our own sight, own eyes. Is that you? We are so easy to go and follow what the world speaks to us and try to rely on ourselves and rely on the worldly philosophies and theories and ways. Reflect and check yourself. Are you walking in Christ? Does your life reflect your faith? How do you treat your husband, your wife? How do you treat your children, your parents? Do you show mercy to them just as Christ? Is Christ Jesus really your Lord, the Lord and Master of all your life? The most challenge is to walk in Christ. But the most beautiful, most blessing is also to walk in Christ. You have been rooted in Christ. You are being built up in Christ. Walking in Christ does not mean you do not serve people and handle trivial things. Probably you will continue to face great difficulties. Probably you will still get angry with others. But in Christ, you have new resource. You have new strength. You have new blessings. You have new power. You can control yourself. You can figure out the difficulties in some unexpected ways. Because Jesus said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for your holy word. Thank you for grant your word to us. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit root your word in our heart and bear fruit in our heart. Lord, lead us to walk in Christ every day. We have received Christ Jesus as our Lord. We must walk in Him. We should walk in Him. Give us strength. Bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's take your psalm books and turn to Psalm 25, selection A. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits for you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Let's stand and sing Psalm 25, selection A. And if you have a prayer card, pass those in and Ben will collect those. Psalm 25, selection A.